Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Al, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
All out. We're going all out on our wrestling podcast. We're talking all out. AEW's the place to be. We're all out.
You should have done Judas.
Judas is here. It's me, Judas. We're all out. The start of wrestling promotion.
Did you announce yourself and then saying that you were here?
I did, yeah. I'm here right now in case you didn't know who this was. It's like the Sugar Hill Gang. We all introduce ourselves. We talk about what we do.
It's good. I missed that in rap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My name is Hal. I don't rap. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Hal Out Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation. All shout, Danielle Radford.
That is fair. I am loud.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
I did it.
NXT UK Kelk over Lindsay Kelk.
That's me.
And Hangman Beige, Mike.
Whoa! I cannot figure out if I like that or not.
I don't know either.
I wouldn't call you beige.
I mean,
you don't have them light skin problems. You ain't got a light skin temper.
I'm like a dark beige, you know?
I'm
not that far from beige. Mm-hmm. I guess.
We're about the same.
I just wasn't prepared to have this conversation about how beige I am.
Welcome to Tights and Bites.
Well, remember,
it discusses cultural issues, sensitivity.
This is the podcast where there's three black folks, and so unfortunately we wind up doing things in mixed company.
You need me to earmuff it? Should I earmuff it now? Yeah. Is this the part where I earmuff it?
Little ears, guys. Little ears are in the booth.
Is this the return of Hal Gets Woke?
Yes.
Oh, I miss woke Hal.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was always here in your heart.
This is gonna go badly. I'm already crying. Let's go.
Folks, what an absolutely busy week of wrestling. I'm trying different delivery now. Three different companies put out three different shows all on the same day. We're going to primarily stick with AEW's All Out for now. This was the last pay-per-view before they go live on TNT next month. And let's start with the biggest news from the show. Wait, let's start with the biggest news from after the show.
Well, let's start with the biggest news from the show.
You want to start with the match. Okay.
Because I can't promise I'm going to talk about anything else once we start talking about that.
That's good reasoning.
Chris Jericho defeats Hangman Adam Page for the AEW World Championship. Here is a clip.
Jericho getting a second chance.
Rising backslide.
The backslide.
No. Oh, shoulders up.
That's it. Impact.
Was that the knockout moment?
What a shot by Jericho. That's got to be it. And it is it. Chris Jericho is the first ever AEW World Champion.
Hal?
Yeah?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you like the Judas?
No. I mean, I like it as a move in a match, like in the beginning of the match when you're knocking somebody over. Uh-huh. But there doesn't seem to generate a lot of torque. Is that what I'm looking for? A lot of force?
A lot of torque.
A lot of twerk.
Yeah.
Doesn't generate a lot of twerk.
Hot
lot
Jericho
at all.
Summer.
I wish
summer is hot Jericho.
Is he? Can he not do like the code breaker? That seemed like a hit it
out
of anywhere.
He does the code breaker as a transition move now.
I always thought it was just because his back hurts a lot now.
Maybe.
Like, you know, having to powerball himself
him
sucks.
Yeah.
I think we've agreed that all of Jericho hurts all the time.
Yeah,
you get to that age. And also, you know, he's been doing it forever. I have been taking it as it's supposed to be shitty, like it's a heel move.
What?
It's supposed to make us angry.
Wait, take me through. Is he gaslighting you? Did he call you and tell you this? I know you guys are tight.
Isn't that how he knocked Paige's eyeball out to begin with? Is with that? So, I mean, there was some heat for it.
It just looks bad.
I rewound it to watch it again to see if I had missed something, and I hadn't.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, look, I was all for Jericho winning. I think it's the right choice.
As did the crowd, you can tell from that clip.
Mm-hmm. They're way into it.
Yeah.
The match in general, there were a lot of matches that came before it that were
and there was
way
a horse
better.
A horse came before it. That was great.
There was a horse.
Let's talk about the horse.
There was a horse.
I forgot about the horse.
I also forgot about the horse.
Talk about the horse.
What would have happened if the horse would have pooped, like, on the way?
I feel like there must have been a horse poop person. Because you don't bring a horse into a situation like that without having provisions.
Or
like
a bag.
Or a diaper, yeah.
Like a person in charge of pooping.
Oh, Jericho should have Judas effect the horse. He should have like on Blazing Saddles, he should have knocked the horse out.
Should have mongoed the horse.
That would have been the heat.
I've seen someone punch a horse in New Orleans one time.
Really?
Horse walked it off. Yeah. I mean, the guy...
No, sold it?
It was a police horse, and the guy was dealt with. It was it wasn't fun. You should never punch a horse, people, let alone a police horse. But horse just, like, was like, did you touch me? Fuck you.
Damn.
No selling ass horse.
So I'm just saying, if they've still got that horse on a contract, number one contender.
AEW.
Yeah, who's he's going to challenge next?
Yeah.
It's going to be that horse. I thought Jericho did well. I was not super impressed with Hangman Page.
He doesn't do it for me the way he does for other people. I feel like I'm missing something.
Does he do it for anyone here?
I really enjoyed him previously.
Ah.
But, yeah, I can't make excuses anymore. I'm like, we were watching the match at home, and I'm like, this just stinks of mid-card. Like, whiffs of IC champion, and I'm like, and that's not a bad thing. It's just that, like, he is young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He has been pushed into this position for booking reasons, for whatever reason. We don't know. It doesn't seem to naturally make sense. I feel like to anyone, even people who watch Being the Elite, even if you're deep into backstory and his whole career, I don't know if it makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. And it does just feel like he's not ready.
It doesn't. The sense that I get looking at the match is that he has not earned that spot yet. And I feel like everybody watching it felt just like me.
And I know that, like, they're trying to, and I applaud them for this. Like, they want to make sure it's not just, because it is right. You do. Damn it, I can't even say these words anymore. You do put the belt on the veteran for a good reason, because he's going to bring eyes into the product. But I also see the benefit, obviously, of you want to start developing these younger talents and these younger stars. This is one of those moments where you do go, I get that you're rewarding someone for their loyalty, but maybe sometimes it can't be about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that comes later.
That comes later.
I feel like that would have been a better use. And I liked Cody's match a lot. I thought it was a very, very good match. We'll talk about it a little later. That would have been a spot for Cody to put over Jericho. So you have, I know they seem to be very conscious not to make the show all about them.
Yes.
So they're not, none of them are generally the main event.
Yeah.
But you have to do a little bit of that up top.
You do. I'm also swings and roundabouts on it. I'm a Libra. I got to make decisions. But part of me also is saying this was their pay-per-view, right? This was their last big pay-per-view before the TV show starts.
Yeah.
But it also feels like this draws a line under everything that's gone before it, kind of. So it's like, yes, it's a setup, but it's almost like a prologue.
Hmm.
And now everything starts from October 2nd. So Paige isn't. You know, I don't know if Paige is going to come in and demand a rematch on the first episode. That feels like it wouldn't work. So maybe it was like, we have to put the belt on somebody. We have to start with a champion. Let's have it be Jericho. Let's have it without damaging someone, damaging a Cody, damaging a Kenny, and start from here. So I'm like, maybe it's that. And it also puts some shine on Paige, because you're saying, even though it didn't entirely work, you're saying he's worthy of this number one contender match. So you've elevated him from we don't know who he is to someone who had a championship match.
Right.
So I'm like, I get it from that perspective, but that involves putting a lot of faith in wild speculation, which is what we trade in. but also, like, it's a longer term booking view. For this match, for this pay-per-view, it felt like a fail. But I'm like, maybe in a longer-term booking perspective, taking the weekly TV show into account, it works.
And we're so used to none of that mattering.
Yeah.
That, like, the idea of giving someone the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, no, it could be that this is part of a long-term booking strategy. When's the last time?
What is that?
And AEW has been spectacle up until now. AEW has been entirely self-contained spectacle of pay-per-views, of major events. So now they've got to look to a longer-term... I can't even say it. You're
I know,
right.
And I think that they are. Like, I absolutely think that they have an eye on long-term stuff. I just
that
think
should
we're...
be their first T-shirt.
Long-term booking strategy. I'm a long-term booking gang for sure.
Gang.
I think there's this little cognitive dissonance they got to be careful about too, though, because, you know, you have your championship match at the end of a show where it's supposed to be important, but then you have all these other clearly important people on the card who don't seem to care about the belt. And that kind of makes it seem like it's separate somehow.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. What? Continue.
Okay.
Any mention of that belt, I'm going to lose my shit today.
I see.
I'm so sorry.
The belt's triggering.
I think you'll find lots of people care about the belt.
All right.
Including people who do not have a match.
Bret Hart stole the belt. Go ahead.
He should. He should.
Yeah. We'll sort of see where things shake out come October. To put a little button on this, it didn't end with the match. As it went off the air, this happened. Here's a clip.
Nobody can believe that Chris Jericho is the first AEW champion. Pure silence. There's no thank you for Chris Jericho. There's no round of applause for Chris Jericho. But that's okay, because I got my own thank you, because I'm the first AEW champion. Oh, you see that, Bucks? Chris Jericho, the first champ. How apropos, isn't it?
Great match, Chris.
Yeah, that's all you're going to say? Yeah, no thank you from the Young Bucks.
Is that what you really want? You just want to thank you? You just want the title?
You know what? You know what? Even if you did thank me, I wouldn't even accept it. Okay? Congratulations on having Chris Jericho as the new AEW champion. The pleasure's all yours, Bucky Boys.
Bucky Boys.
So many t-shirts coming out of this.
Yes. Since nobody else seems to be here. Oh! A little bit of the bubbly. Want some bubbly?
T-shirt number
Look
3.
Look at this stuff. Huh?
Well, of the many things you can do after winning the AEW World Championship, one thing we can definitely recommend against is going to Longhorn Steakhouse.
Don't do it.
Home of a baked potato bar and a bunch of belt thieves. Although apparently, I guess the story is, the limo...
He took a limo!
Like it's after prom, the limo drops them off at Longhorn Steakhouse, and while he's there enjoying who knows what.
A Bloomin' Onion.
The limo goes back to the airport because they got the wrong bags. The belt was left in the limo.
Oh, God, this is magical.
I kind of wanted the story to be he brought the belt with him into the Longhorn.
That's kind of what I wanted to impress the waitresses.
Yeah. Went to make a number one, gone. You could see the trail of peanut shells spread aside from where the strap of the belt was dragged out. But it was stolen, I guess, somewhere at the airport where they were switching the bags.
But you would. Like, I don't want to recommend... Grand larceny is apparently this what Jericho's decided this is. Yep. But, like, would you not take it if you opened up the trunk of a limo and found a wrestling belt in there? You'd be like, sure. And I don't recognize what this... They probably wouldn't know what it was. It didn't say WWE on it. So they may have just been like, oh, this is just, like, a gag thing.
Oh, because it says, doesn't say it. WWE. It's mine.
Yeah, it's mine now. That's what all wrestling belts.
Finders keepers. Yeah. Finders keepers.
Hold on,
rules.
I'm looking up for how much grand larceny is in Florida. Because, I mean, that belt is at least 50K, right?
It's an expensive belt. I feel like 50K. Cody, you know, spend it now, meet more later.
That seems pretty like hefty.
I don't know if it's 50K.
Well, for anything,
wrestling
grand
inflated values.
True.
Yeah.
It's like,
true.
I'm going to find you $100,000 right. Coming in my dressing room. This belt cost $1 million.
So, ooh, okay. Anything valued between $320,000 is third degree grand larceny. Items valued between $20,000 and $100,000 is second degree grand larceny. And anything exceeding $100,000 is first degree grand larceny.
So, for the sake of this, it's $100,000.
It's $100,000. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm sure they've been splashing out with Papa Khan's money. So, I'm sure that it's the diamonds is real.
It's not where you cut price, is it, in your first belt?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you sell that for parts? Do you sell the center plate?
Does that go for something?
Yeah, you melt down the belt. But this is just a for all you promotions out there, chip your belts. Yes. Put a chip in there so you can track it.
If I could chip my cats, you could chip your belts.
Exactly.
Yeah, what are those things called where it's like it's the tile and you put it where your keys are?
It's just a tile.
Yeah. It's tile, yeah. Tile the belt.
Put a tile on there.
Want them to make a feature of that so you can see the tracker on the belts from now on.
That belt's going to get stolen so many times now.
Of course. It's a game now.
Yeah, now it's a game. It's true.
That's the gimmick, yeah. He can't hold on to the belt. Nobody can. Maybe it's constantly comes out, cuts a promo, and he left the belt backstage, and one of the wrestlers takes it.
It's a cursed
constantly
belt.
Gone.
Magic.
This is the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard.
It's so great.
And it's such a gift. I tried to explain it to the writer's room yesterday because me and Joe couldn't stop talking about it. They got it. Like, luckily, the humor
Four
of...
hours, they got it.
Yeah. The humor of brand new company looking to establish itself and establish credibility in its name. crowns a new champion, and within 2 days, that dude's belt gets stolen out of a limo at the Longhorn Steakhouse. People get that. That's the funniest thing they've ever heard. So at this point, after everything after that, so that was not a work. That was real. There was a police report filed.
Yeah.
Everything after we started cracking jokes on Twitter, I have to believe is a work. Right.
What else happened?
Oh, that Jericho cut a promo from the hot tub.
Yeah, there was a.
Oh, he did.
Yes.
It's so great.
Yeah.
It's really? So good. He's wearing his scarf and hat in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah, that's... the scarf is dipped into the water.
Oh, it's amazing. He like starts.
That sounds so disgusting.
Now, as I sit here in my palatial estate, my beautiful mansion, getting ready to have a little bit of the bubbly, I'm just imagining what I would do to that son of a bitch if he was here right now. And as a result, I am launching a worldwide investigation using the top private investigators in the world today to find out who committed this crime.
Also, what I really love is it's close up on him in the hot tub because he's saying, oh, here I am at my mansion, my palatial estate. Like, I feel like you're in a hot tub at a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, yeah, there's a chain link fence.
Yeah, there's a fence. That's why this is real snug on you. Yeah. And it still doesn't look nice.
We assume something's... I mean, they'll have another belt.
Honestly,
even if they don't get that one, they'll have one ready.
It's the best thing that could have come out of that match.
Yeah.
Like, it truly is. It makes up for a lackluster first ever title match. Because now it will always be the title match when Jericho's belt got stolen. People won't even remember that Paige was in it or that he rode a horse.
Nope.
They will only remember that he went to the fucking Longhorn Steakhouse.
Adam Horseman Page. Oh. No one will remember him
He's a horse. He's a horse. I think he'll be fine. He has so much time.
He's young. Yeah, he's got time.
He's young. He's good looking. He's good in the ring. He's a horse. He's going to be fine.
He is a horse.
He is a horse.
So he was a horse riding a horse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Something's wrong with that.
Yeah. That's a real horse. Yeah. A horse on a horse. That's too much.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
They both seemed into it.
I guess so.
I only want a horse on a horse.
That's
only what?
And it could be, you know, look, it could be worse. He could be just like another white dude with black trunks. This one's a white dude with black trunks and a cowboy hat.
And a cowboy hat, yeah. That's a missing difference.
And he was a teacher before he was a wrestler. So
great.
Well done for that. That's a thing.
I'm glad they didn't incorporate that. That wouldn't have been interesting
at
all.
He could be the professor.
Yeah. Could have been good.
Professor Paige.
Hey, it works for Matt Stryker, for God's sakes.
Did it.
It did. He's still in the business.
That's true.
He's drawn a check. It worked. The card opened with SCU defeating the Jurassic Express.
I love them so much. I love them.
The Jurassic Express,
yes.
Or SCU?
Well,
you love them both.
I like SCU too.
Yeah.
I like that they incorporated the Scorpio Sky, which I have opinions, but whatever. I do like that he incorporated the Stussy S on his tights. That makes me really happy. I feel like I haven't seen that since high school.
I thought it was a good match. I like Jungle Boy. I like Luchasaurus. The real skinny guy. I get
Marco Stunt.
Yeah.
That's a small one. Skinny one's Jungle Boy.
I don't like... Yeah. I don't like that. No, the Marco Stunt is skinnier than Jungle Boy.
He's just miniature.
No, I guess he's just smaller.
Tiny.
He's like miniature Jungle Boy.
I don't like super tiny like that because I think they're going to get hurt the entire match.
I really wondered where you were going with that. I'm like, Jesus, Al. Like, I'm like super tiny like that freaks me out.
He's coming out anti-twink.
Yeah. I can't. I'm taking a hard stance. No, when I see a really small, skinny dude in the ring like that, I just assume he's going to get hurt, and it makes it less enjoyable for me to watch. Mm. Like, Jungle Boy is lean, but he doesn't look like he's going to... snap
he's
in half.
Like super, super flexible and super, super athletic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But good match. I love the SCU guys. It was nice to see them get a win. So I think they've lost their other matches. Mm-hmm. I don't remember them winning a match yet. So it's nice to see them go over. Like, you have to sort of start balancing it out. Like, again, this is all in preparation. The match had no basis in anything,
it's
as far as I could tell.
Hey,
they all
okay.
shook hands afterwards. So I was like, well, what the fuck is this for? You all love each other now? That's what it feels like, the Rock and Wrestling cartoon. We're like, oh, do you all live together too?
Yeah.
Do you all have like the help where you have different flats, but then it's one big flat?
I would watch the AEW Rock and Wrestling. That would be fun.
Oh, my
right?
God.
Yeah.
That'd be real good.
Oh, Luchasaurus would be so over. Plus,
yeah, he would.
Y'all, he's got a master's degree.
Does he?
Yeah.
In what?
I don't know.
We say paleontology.
Gotta be paleontology. Gotta be.
Maybe, but yeah, like that's the story of them is that... Jungle Boy. He's not quite a pet, but he's like basically Luchasaurus's pet boy.
Wait a minute. He's the pet?
Yeah, Jungle Boy's the pet.
What?
And Luchasaurus talks and is very erudite and he's very intelligent and he talks.
I've never heard him speak.
Yeah. Yeah, Luchasaurus does all the talking. He's very smart. He's got a master's degree in something. Yeah. Jungle Boy does not. He tweets, but he does not verbally speak unless you accidentally see him speaking
sometimes
when he's calling shots.
He gets off leash.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
And is Marco Stunt, does he belong to someone?
So the look on your face. So Marco Stunt
this
was getting...
This took a dark turn.
He was getting bullied, and Luchasaurus does not like people get bullied, so they brought him into the fold. So he's... I think that he is Jungle Boy's pet,
okay,
is the way that it works.
All right. Okay.
Wrestling! Wrestling! It's so good!
So Luchasaurus is the front of the human centipede.
That's what it is.
Jungle Boy is the middle, mm-hmm, and then Marco Stickman is the back.
Poor Jungle Boy.
Right? What is his name? Marcosaurus?
It is.
Marco Stunt.
Marco Stunt.
I will say, Jungle Boy has been passing his conditioner around that locker room. Everyone's hair looked amazing.
They all looked glorious.
I mean, they all did a great job. I joke about Marco Stunt mostly because I'm scared for him. And I want you to live a long time, Marco. I hope you're listening. As I know the whole AEW locker room does together around one big old Philco radio. They have wired to play podcasts. I care about all of you and I want you to live. But it was a good opener. Like, they got the crowd going.
It was fun.
It does have that treading. This whole thing did have that sort of treading water feel, with the exception of a few matches.
Yeah, I wasn't sure this match hadn't happened before.
Right,
I wasn't sure, and it probably hasn't.
I can't say that.
Either. I wouldn't put money on it not having happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've also had like a couple of Christopher Daniels singles matches, right? With SCM.
Oh, true. True.
They've just been like around.
Yeah.
Around. Yeah. So.
When he's not doing the
Don't you start talking about Waterworld.
I have
don't
every
this
time
is not going to be another Waterworld centric episode.
Blame Christopher Daniels, don't blame me.
Oh God.
We had Jimmy Havoc defeat Darby Allin and Joey Janela. I don't like hardcore matches, and I realize I don't have a stomach for it the more I watch it. I don't want to see tacks shoved in a guy's fucking mouth and then it tapes shut.
Nope, it turned it like I was like, is this Saw? Did I accidentally put on a Saw movie? This is disgusting. I hate that.
As a
you
match,
hate that spot in particular?
Yeah. I don't love a hardcore match. I just don't think it's necessary in this day and age. There's a place for it, and that place I don't think is on television.
CZW.
Yeah, I mean, go find it if you need it, but it makes me so anxious. It really does stress me out. And like, that thumbtacks in the mouth. Blah.
Yeah.
Blah. I guess that's what they want. They want the...
Yeah, that is the reaction.
The taping his mouth, too. I'm like, oh, my God, what if he gets a blocked nose? He's going to die. I can't breathe well through my nose. It made me very upset.
That in mind, it wasn't a terrible... Like, I liked the match parts of it. Just every time it took a break for them to, like...
And I like all three guys.
Yeah.
I think Darby Allin is really, like,
so
amazing.
Good.
I want to see him in, like, a straight-up wrestling match.
They did. Well, the one with him and Cody was a straight-up wrestling match.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that was a really good match.
I think that one got overshadowed with the...
True.
Oh, yeah, because all we remember is the headshot and his head busting open.
Like, miming hitting someone in the head.
I'd love to see more. They haven't announced a secondary belt yet, have they?
Not yet, no.
Okay. They should. He should be a guy.
And it will probably be sponsored by Cracker Barrel.
I'm fine with that.
The barrels.
I want
the
to get barrels. Hit in the so face with a tray full of biscuits so badly.
Oh, those gimmick barrels.
Like, yeah.
Why did they not have giant metal trays? Like, that is the other thing that all... Like, Cracker Barrels have barrels full of stuff. A little bit. Like, out on the porch. But they bring you food on the largest metal tray.
I just want a tray full of biscuits. I want it so bad. I want someone to hit me in the face with it. And I didn't know that about myself until I saw it.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
And my
That's
birthday
possible.
Is coming up.
Okay. Yeah. So. Well, we know what to do.
Noted.
Thank you, AEW.
Going on the list. We had Riho defeat Hikaru Shida. And then she will take on Nyla Rose for the AEW Women's Championship. Not at the first TNT show, though. At their pay-per-view. Is that right? We don't know. Hasn't been announced.
Gosh, I want to say that it's going to be on the first show, but I could be wrong about that. Tell me we're wrong. Just be nice about it if you have to shout us out on Twitter.
Yeah. I thought this was a great match. It just had really horrible placement.
Yeah.
Because the crowd was like not.
I don't think they did enough to make it
for my purposes, they didn't connect it to the world enough. Because they've had matches with Japanese competitors, Chinese competitors, Mexican competitors, and they always kind of make it seem like a little bit of a sideshow.
Right. Right.
They don't weave it in enough. And that's what I felt like with this match. Like, I need to go watch it again because I didn't even realize that those kind of stakes were really connected to it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, you know, to me, that story wasn't really told.
No, I feel the same way. It feels like every time they have this match, you're like, and now it's the Joshi match.
Right.
And not just like, this is now AEW Women's Division match. It's like, do we need some sort of branding? Mm-hmm. Does it need to come up and say AEW Women's?
Brandy? Would you say Brandy?
Branding, but it does not need more Brandy. It absolutely positively needs no more Brandy. That promo she cut before, that was fantastic. I love her in that role. I do think the whole Women's Division needs more cohesive branding and not just, oh, Kenny went and found a bunch of really awesome women and watch them go, because people aren't connecting yet.
Yeah, that is a really good point, especially because I think before the TV show was announced and they were just doing these pay-per-views, it did kind of feel like, hey, we're just going to take things from all over the world and little bits of other promotions that we like and put them together.
Yeah.
And now they do have to start doing the work of it being like, no, like, this isn't just like, we're not highlighting this match and we're not borrowing these performers from somewhere else. Like, this is our division. So that's a really good point.
Yeah, I don't know their roster. I could not tell you the women's roster. I could not tell you anybody who's on it except for Nyla Rose, maybe Britt Baker, because they're like, people just they straight up disappear. There's one women's match on a 15-hour card.
Well, that's
unacceptable.
The big battle royal.
But on the pre-show, I didn't watch the pre-show.
Yeah.
They had a lot of women in that match, but I don't, like, to your point, I don't know who's on the roster and who's not.
Yeah. And Battle Royale, sorry, that doesn't...
No, it's not good enough.
On the pre-show.
It's not good enough. And yeah, I agree. That was disappointing.
That's a shame.
Yeah, and it's great to say, oh, Nyla Rose is in our first championship match. That's awesome that you're doing that. But A, she deserves the spot. She's great.
Yeah, don't, you know...
It's not just you can have this because of who you are. It's like, no, she deserves this also. But it's not just enough to do that. You have to do the work. There should have been another match on the card.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why no one has signed Mercedes Martinez. Just
She's not signed?
No.
Wow, what the hell?
To anyone.
I'm shocked. Maybe
just Danielle.
Maybe she's playing the field. I don't know.
Just me.
Before we take a break, let's talk about one more match. Kenny Omega was supposed to take on Jon Moxley, but Moxley's staph infection surfaced once again before the event. But never fear, a suitable replacement was quickly found. Pac subbed in. I cannot call him that. I'm sorry. Neville subbed in on short notice and handed Kenny another singles loss.
What about using his full and proper name, Bastard Pac?
Bastard Pac. Yeah, so sorry. Bastard Pac showed up. That was a great match. Nothing against Jon Moxley, who I like, but I did not miss him.
It didn't
Pac
feel
is
like a filler,
fantastic.
Right?
I love the finish.
Pac,
I love the
so
story of it.
Good.
You need Jericho at the front, right? But I can't imagine he's going to wrestle forever. Pac is a guy you should put the belt on and let him have it for a very, very, very long time.
He did great in NXT when he was a champion.
Yeah, and even better when he was King of the Cruiserweights.
Yeah.
That heel character is
so
fantastic.
Magical.
He's so fucking huge. God damn. And, like, especially in AEW where it's like he's going up against other dudes that are, like, his size because there is such a size variance. When you put him next to someone who's also, like, 5'8 or 5'9 or whatever it is, it's like, Jesus, that man's titty.
Yeah.
Look at them titties.
He is a broad gentleman.
Yeah.
Old Ben.
So what do we think of that finish? Because was anybody else expecting him to go over? I certainly was not.
I was not.
No, not at all.
I was not. And I thought the actual, with it being a fade out, I was really shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not in a negative way, just in wow, I just did not see that coming.
And I think it's really smart of them. They kept hammering on, like, look, like, this is not who Kenny has been prepping for. Kenny has been prepping for Moxley. They wrestle two completely different styles. So this idea that, like, Pac comes in always fucking ready and Kenny had been prepping for something else and Pac just going over, I love that.
Yeah.
It also sells the idea that even though he's smaller than most competitors, that picking him up is more dangerous than leaving him on the ground.
Yeah.
Because he was picking him up to put him into the one-winged angel, right?
Yeah, one-winged angel.
And then he turned it into a submission maneuver and got him to pass the fuck out. Ugh. That is a dangerous guy. Like, that match did... Kenny Omega doesn't get hurt by the loss, but you make Pac in that promotion with that win.
Pac. His full and proper name.
Please change your name.
His mother christened him Bastard Pac, and I insist you use
his mama named Bastard. I'm going to call him Bastard.
Was he Pac before he came into NXT?
Yeah, before.
Yeah, he should change that.
My favorite thing is how Jim Ross calls him Pac.
Yeah.
I really love that.
Of course he does.
He can't get Tupac off of his mind.
That's right. He loves Tupac. It's all eyes on him.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see where they go with the Kenny storylines from here. Because I think, like I said, I really do feel like this draws a line and now we start afresh from TV. Because we're assuming they're going to pick up a bigger TV audience than what's been watching the pay-per-views and then who's been going to the shows. And I think a lot of people are coming for Kenny because they've heard so much about Kenny. So they can't have him keep losing.
Right. And they're, one of their selling points is how much wins and losses matter. Yes. He's, what, 1-2?
Yeah, yeah, he's not. He's. I was so shocked. I mean, A, I was just shocked. But B, when I look at in a broader, looking for a broader perspective, I'm like, wow, they are not protecting Kenny at all.
But I think that's actually, to me, it's interesting because it gives them the potential to do this. You could do like a real long-term like losing streak angle with him. And then when he turns it around and starts winning, he's be, you know, the biggest star in the world.
Because when they put the belt on him, they have to leave the belt on him forever.
Right.
Right.
For years. And like also, it has to just stay there.
And there's like an automatic story there if they want it of like, you know, he has been putting in so much work to get the company off the ground that he hasn't been focusing on the thing that he really loves is the wrestling. That's like built in right there.
Yeah. If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed so far, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram via the links in our show notes. We'll be back after a break to discuss the rest of All Out and plenty more. This is Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Hi, I'm Janet Varney, and like many of you, brand new sentient robots excluded, I used to be a teenager. In fact, just about all of my friends were, too, including folks like comedian Danielle Radford.
And of course, all of us, you take on that theater accent, and our teacher would say, no, that isn't how people talk.
Right.
Don't do the super theater kid accent. It's the worst. But so when I was doing theater in high school, of course, I immediately was talking about being in the theater.
So join me every week on the JV Club podcast, where I speak with my favorite women artists, innovators, and humans as we reminisce about the past and how it led us to becoming who we are. Find it every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford.
And...
oh, Lindsay Kelk.
And
Michael Eagle.
Yes.
You forgot how to do this.
I was deferring to the Eagle.
Uh-uh. Don't defer to me.
I was like, no, no.
Let's talk about some of All Out's tag matches. We had the Dark Order versus the Best Friends, which I liked. It was real good. Good match. Yeah. All the tag stuff was good.
I mean, but was it as good as what happened after the match?
Oh,
yeah.
You mean my favorite thing that happened all night?
The best thing that happened all weekend.
So out come the masked men. Is that what they were calling them?
They're called the spooky perverts is what they're called.
Spooky perverts. I've been watching a lot of Mindhunter, so this is really like, I was like, oh, is he going to try and pay them to tickle their feet? They come out.
Is that what happens with
Mindhunter? They come out in Bill Clinton.
That's not what I've been led to believe that show was about.
Bill Clinton and Al Gore masks. Like it's Point Break.
Oh, that's at the end.
And then they pulled them off.
No, different match.
That's at the end of the ladder match.
Is that the end of the other one?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Oh, right. Sorry.
Happened of all time.
Go back. Don't go back. I mixed up who the fuck. Listen.
Hal is not on board with the tag team division.
AEW, do your new buddy a favor. Help me a little more remember who all these people are. Let's not assume that I've been tape trading for the last 15 years, okay? Okay,
it's
babe?
So much fun watching Papa Hal try to catch up.
I'm like, because
because you're right. Like, in order to, and this is something that they are, it is a hill they have to climb.
Want
to
make money? Let me know who they are.
Like, you do have to have been following...
Yeah.
what, like all of the indies, all of New Japan, most of AAA.
Even TNA, like...
TNA, ROH, you have to have been following all of these promotions for at least the last 2 years to understand a lot of what's going on.
To be able to jump in and swim, you have to know so much. You've been steeping in WWE for 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to take a minute.
This so at the end of this Dark Order and Best Friends match, and also, oh, while we're on the subject of Dark Order, because I'm very not here for the gimmick, except if they spin it like they are actually perverts. Because that, like, I know people like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't really, you know, I don't know any, like, Dungeon of Doom monster people.
Yeah.
But I do know people into freaky shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And well, that's a whole new audience.
I know!
They all have...
Woo me!
If it makes you feel any better, they all have rubber bands around their nuts.
See? It would make me feel better.
Yeah.
Give me the backstory!
Yeah. And they're like, that's why every time they run, it hurts. sorry, at the end of the match, the lights go out, which is their thing, but it's them. What? Here's a clip of what happened. Oops, Orange Cassidy.
Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy has been poured into the All Elite Wrestling Ring.
You could do better.
You don't like the nickname.
No, the freshly squeezed.
That's what I'm saying.
Is that what they say? It's not
freshly
all the time?
Squeezed, yeah.
Taking out all the creepers. Jeepers. That's pretty cool. Makes it look so easy.
Oh, it's going to be really... I'm glad he's still alive, first of all.
He's just really good. He's that
incredible.
Good.
That's his thing that he does.
Is it in a match he never takes his hands out of his pockets,
he takes
ever?
Yeah, he but when sometimes. He takes them out, it's like...
It's serious.
That's first of all, it's big heel heat because it's usually a heel making him take his hands out of his pockets.
Right.
And then he starts to actually show that he can actually wrestle.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, that it's dive good. Through the ropes with your hands in your pockets.
Yeah, it's impressive.
The nip up,
that
all
is
of it.
Amazing.
He was all 37 of those abdominal muscles.
Fucking kip up is ridiculous.
It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Was it not the greatest moment of the night when JR was like, who is this guy? And they replied, Orange Cassidy. Like, no, I know that, but who is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you've just earned your money.
There
so
you go.
At least three times, and I almost tweeted it, and I tweeted it halfway. Much like with Papa Hal, JR, you got to start learning the names of people who are in this.
Well, place. He's getting paid to do it. It's up to them to tell me who they are. It's up to him to be told to.
He's the one who's supposed to be telling you.
He's supposed
who
to
they
be
are.
Telling me.
I don't know. I don't know if y'all need flashcards. If y'all need a college style Facebook where you put like the names to the faces. But JR, like, during that women's match, he'd know who the fuck them women were.
Oh, that hurt. I mean, I'm not his biggest fan. This has been well documented on the internet. But, like, oof.
You gotta learn the names if you're doing commentary. And it's one thing when he was just kind of doing, like, when he would drop in and do, like, a Wrestle Kingdom or something like that. It would be like, okay, well, he's getting his feet back into it. But it's like, dude, like, this is happening in 1 month.
And enough of that.
And you have to start knowing everyone's names because you have to teach everyone else.
And enough of the Mrs. Cody. Like, that's got to stop. That's got to stop. And like, that literally makes me want to punch him in his face. And that would be very rude because he is an older gentleman. But...
Blue Chew. All right.
And it wouldn't be rude.
Well, speaking of Brandy and their dog.
Justice for Pharaoh.
Cody
Justice
versus Sean Spears. Cody gets the win. This match has everything. Blanchards, Andersons, a guy with a scarf.
You love that guy with a scarf.
A human trash can.
He's your favorite one.
Very good. Oh,
who's
yeah,
the
I
human
love MJF.
Trash can?
I don't know.
Oh.
It's this thing of when... No, it's a, my SNL reference got away from me. It got away from me because it was challenged by reality.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, what are you talking about, asshole? What? Yeah, it was a good match.
I like it.
I want to see MJF in a match, not dressed as Data, walking down to the ring with him.
But I like that he just put the top on. You know, they were like, oh, when you come in, can you be wearing black pants? And you're like, yeah, okay. Uh-huh. And then he got there and was like, oh, fuck. I was supposed to wear black pants.
Oh, you know what I'm not doing?
Yeah, and Brandy's there in a fucking silver cat suit looking at him. You
seven of nine.
Shit. Yep. You actual
She's full seven of nine mode.
And he's just put the top on with his jeans.
That is the most... Brandy is a very attractive woman, but she's not, like, super my type. I like thick girls. But, like, And I also don't like straight hair. On black girls, sorry. Everyone is allowed to do whatever they want to with their hair. It's just I'm over straight hair on black girls. But in the Borg outfit, Brandy is my type.
Yeah, suddenly Jeff was a lot more interested in the show than he had been. Star Trek fan, pretends he isn't, is a massive one, was suddenly a lot more interested. Oh, look, they're dressed like Star Trek. And I'm like, oh, it's they. It's they that you're interested in, isn't it?
Oh, it's all they. Of them.
It's them.
Uh-huh. Why was DDP there?
He's part of the Nightmare family.
He was there what was it? The first, was it All In? He was there with Cody?
Yeah, he's been there. When they had the whole fam, like, he's always been part of it, yeah.
The Nightmare fam? Is that, they married
Nightmare
to that?
Family.
They married to that one?
Yeah. I like that one. I like the Nightmare family.
Get it?
Because he's the American Nightmare?
Uh-huh.
And there's family?
Uh-huh.
And he can't call himself Rhodes.
No. And they have a doggo, so let's have more respect.
They can't call themselves the Dream family. Because he keeps saying that he's trying to get away from doing what his dad did.
But here's the bionic elbow.
He says it, is what's interesting.
And then
to me.
He has Arn show up. And it's like.
And
oh.
Then he has Arn show up.
And Tully.
And he dyes his hair fucking perfectly bleached.
I was at Dragon Con. My table in the Walk of Fame was on the same row as Dustin Rhodes. So I saw the first day he had the red, half red, black. And then the second day, red and black one side, gold dust on the other side.
Nice. Oh, very nice. Cool. I like that. I loved his podcast with Jericho. I loved his interview with Jericho.
I also love that he does his own makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Have you ever seen the time lapse of him doing
it?
It's amazing.
I've watched it a couple of times.
I don't know how the hell you do that. Into a mirror, no less. Like that. Crazy.
Yeah, it's hard.
Type of drawing.
Yeah, you just do it.
Oh, you draw the gold dust, those gold dust patterns on your face every day in a mirror?
Yeah, you just do it.
Wow.
He's just that good.
What do we think of Sean Spears in this match? His big kind of heel match debut. New Sean Spears.
We don't unless someone asks about him.
I mean, my main feeling about Sean Spears has been following his and Peyton's honeymoon in Maui Instagram.
See, I don't get none of that
so
content.
I was so confused because they got married.
Only. Oh,
married
you know
last
us.
Weekend. Yeah, like, so they got married last week, two weekends ago.
This is Tapping Titles now, so
right?
Sorry.
Welcome to Tapping Titles, a podcast within a podcast that discusses things you don't care about. But, like, they got married two weekends ago.
Right. He's married to Peyton Royce.
Yes. Okay. So then she posted, like, honeymooners on August. I checked the timeline because this it is relevant, I swear. But she posted that they were on honeymoon on the 27th. They're in Maui. But then he was back for the match. So I'm like, oh, I guess that was it. They just did the brief wrestler's honeymoon. But now they're back in Maui together.
Damn.
So did he leave Maui and fly all the way?
Or are they posting old photos?
No, she's still there because she's posting stories too. Mm. So they're still there. Mm. And it's like, just like, oh, this happened. But it, like, even if it's old photos, it doesn't really, that timeline wouldn't really make sense because they could have only been there.
So Billy Kay could come over.
Yeah, I assume Billy's there, like, and wearing a Sean mask. But I'm like, did he fly back for the match and then come back to their honeymoon? Or no, I don't know. But if that is true, and I choose to believe it is.
Does she not have to work right now?
No, like, they haven't been on TV for a little while.
Yeah, nope.
Wow.
But,
they're really focusing on the four horsewomen again.
Yeah, which is fine.
That's fine.
They were champions. I feel like when you lose your belt, you do go away for a hot minute.
Okay. Stupid.
There's at least six.
Listen.
Lacey Evans is on TV all the fucking time.
Oh, that's what I forgot.
For some reason.
I like Sean Spears. I liked him in the match. Please take those fucking contact lenses out. Those don't do anything.
That I don't
weird.
Like them.
None that was of it weird. Really does.
Like, what are you, a lizard?
Me.
Is that your gimmick? Your lizard person? You're changing to a lizard? But
he's
slowly.
A lizard, but he's been talking to Bo Dallas, and he's a lizard person now.
But you know what? Like, if that.
He's a reptilian.
He's a reptilian.
Like, I don't
he's
know.
He's out. He's a reptilian.
Damn.
He's the first. AEW's for everyone. He's the first out reptilian wrestler.
That's a bold Someone move. It's very inclusive.
Yeah.
I just. And I think that's my thing with Sean Spears is like, I don't know who he is yet other than be on WWE and has a thing now with Cody, but they haven't established who he is as a character outside of who he used to be.
Yeah, he's doing all the things, but also none of the things.
Yeah, and that's what I need. I need him to be his own dude outside of who he used to be. I need him to be who he is now.
I watched the Road to All Out stuff that they did with him when he was talking to JR.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were trying to make him a person.
Right. But, and then they stopped doing that character work.
And there's and none of that. There was none of that in the match, really. There's none of that in how he carries himself, because nothing he said to JR would give you the impression that he was going to be a cat person now. Like, he was going to, you know.
And again, look, long-term booking strategy. We're going to see how all of this plays out come October.
It's just yeah, the post-WWE desperation is kind of coming off in waves to me.
Yeah, we'll see. Finally, let's talk about the most chaotic match of the night, the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks for the AAA tag team titles and a ladder turmoil construction zone match. I don't remember what they called it. What they call it?
Yeah.
Yes, ladder of death.
Death ladder.
I took French.
You're the worst.
What is it in French?
Moi aussi.
Look, very good match.
That's it.
I really wanted to know how you felt after this one, because
I liked all the spots.
Don't like the Bucks.
There were times. It's not that I don't.
It's
not that I hate. I don't hate them. They just don't do anything for me.
But even after this
match,
even after they nearly died,
this match did more to win me over.
Good.
Than others. They all took very nasty bumps. They all worked very well together. Mm-hmm. Some of the like stereo bits.
Yeah, some of that stuff
were good,
was a little much.
It felt like a little bit much. And this was my issue with the Young Bucks in general, is there's a point in the wrestling match where we're all suspending disbelief when we watch any wrestling match.
Right.
And as long as the internal logic is there, it's easy to do. Mm-hmm. But it sometimes feels like they feel the need to go like, now suspend it more. Because
no, they do.
What
that's
we're
totally
doing,
their and
thing.
They definitely do.
That turns me off as a viewer.
Yeah, no, and that is absolutely what they do. And so if that is going to be like a stumbling block to enjoying them, you might just have to be okay with you not liking them.
Because
that's
their thing, right? Heightened performance.
Yeah, their thing is like, we're going to turn everything, not even to 11, like we're going to turn it up to 15. Yeah. We're going to do ridiculous shit that should not work. Like, the testing the boundaries of what works and what doesn't is their gimmick. And it's why a lot of people genuinely, like, can never get on board and will never.
I'm not speaking objectively. I'm 100% speaking subjectively. Oh, yeah. This is my favorite match of theirs that I've watched. So take that how you will. I love the Lucha Brothers. I think they're fantastic.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Mike, what did you think of the match?
I thought it was great. I guess I've just seen these four a lot. Like, I've seen them as there have been three AEW matches. I feel like I've seen them wrestling PWG a bunch, too.
I don't know if they're allowed to wrestle other people anymore.
It's something. It feels a little like we're all locked into this Groundhog Day match. But, I mean, They're going to move on to other things now, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. LAX showed up at the end of this one, and it's the new LAX, because this is like the third iteration, I think, that there have been. And I'm hoping that means that they're in a feud with the Young Bucks, because to me, like, the best Young Bucks matches are some of the ones they've had in New Japan, where, like, there's crazy spots, but there's also, like, storytelling.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I want to see a little bit more of that now, because we've seen all the spot stuff.
Yeah. So when you divorce the spots from the story, that's when it becomes just spectacle.
Right.
Yeah.
And that gets tiring. That's hard to connect with and care about.
Well, when those guys came out with the hoods on and the Clinton and Gore mask that I talked about earlier, then they pulled off the mask and I was like, who the fuck is that? And then the announcers were like, that's blah, blah, blah. And I was like, who the fuck is that?
Did you think it was going to be CM Punk?
No, I didn't know. I was like, I would bet $1 million I have no idea who either of those people are. But hopefully the announcers will explain it.
It reminds me of that. There's that great like a GIF, but it was from one of the Justice League cartoons where like there's a body swap where some of the evil villains get put into the heroes' bodies, and so like Luther gets put into the Flash's body, and he's like, "Finally, I'll find out who the Flash is." And he takes the mask off, and he looks in the mirror, and he goes, "I have no idea who this is."
Yes, that's exactly it. That is exactly what it was. I love that clip. That's a great moment. Apparently, there was an NXT UK takeover. In Cardiff, and then a New Japan Royal Quest. Did anybody here watch either of those?
I watched some of the New Japan. I haven't seen the NXT UK yet, but I heard really good things.
Yeah, I haven't.
Sure, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
New Japan was super fun. New Japan's was super, super fun.
I didn't even know that
really
happened.
Really fun matches. Yeah. It was in the UK, and that's why NXT scheduled their UK match opposite it. Yeah.
So NXT is just to counter-program other things.
Like
that's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
Jesus
Except,
Christ.
Yeah. New Japan was in London and already sold out, and then NXT was in Cardiff. I'm like, oh, just so you know, Vince, I know it looks like not far on a map to you, but London, Wales is a separate
country.
Yeah. It's its own principality.
They have a language.
Yeah, it's not fact. 5 minutes up the road.
That's hilarious.
I do love that when WWE just is like, but the people will travel, right? I'm like, oh no. Let me explain my people for you. We won't do shit. It's more than half an hour away. Fuck you. That requires an entire month's planning and family approval.
It's like living in LA.
Yes.
Yes.
Danielle, before we wrap things up, here's something that I know you've been excited about. With the return of her best friend Sasha Banks, Bayley decided that she would not be overshadowed by Becky Lynch anymore. Here's a clip.
Michael Cole's like, why?
What the hell is happening?
Because it's wrestling. That's why.
It's literally a job.
Hitting people is her work. Yeah, it's amazing. And
yeah,
it's great.
Good decent promo also last night, Tuesday night, where she didn't change her character at all. She was teaching everybody a lesson in loyalty and being a role model for kids.
I thought it was great. She's done the great full direction. Sami Zayn, right? She's just like amping it up and making it annoying. I'm like, oh, this is genius.
That's perfect.
Really, really smart.
Evil Pam.
Let her do the talking for a while.
Yeah. Oh, Sash.
She's so good, but she needs to, they gotta send her to a class.
Sasha?
For the talking.
Or Bayley.
I do feel like they're also Roman Reignsing her, though, where they're giving her such intensely scripted promos with every word, and that's not coming naturally to her. Because she's good when she's being the boss.
And
but they're having her be this really slightly whiny version of it, going, I deserve this. And it's like, no, just let her be the boss. Let her be the character she was in NXT.
Yeah, because she was doing it, and she was talking just fine. Yeah. It is when they try to like put that... overly scripted thing on her. She's not a performer.
Is Vince still writing all the scripts and shit?
Yeah.
Is he gone yet?
Yeah, I thought it was Heyman. It's not Heyman
he's
yet.
He's still involved. Right?
I think
Bischoff
that he's
on
still
SmackDown.
Involved.
Yeah, Heyman on Raw.
But like, I mean, in theory,
and
he's
moving his mouth, making him do things.
Yeah, they put peanut butter on the roof of his mouth. And he's going,
I think we should. This is good shit right here.
Holding a cup like this, with thumb on top, spitting tobacco juice in it. Ugh, fucking gross. That does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This week, your hosts were Mike Eagle, Lindsay Kelk, and Danielle Radford, along with me, Hal Lublin. I was at Dragon Con. You missed it. You were there. And again, for the 900th consecutive year, Xavier Woods and I did not get together, although we meant to. It just didn't happen. Sorry about it, everybody. Go follow me on social media and all the places at Hal Lublin. I would appreciate that. Danielle?
Let's see. What trailer did we do today this week? We just released the honest trailer for the 1990s TV movie for It. So go check that out. Tim Curry. That was a fun one.
Nightmares for days.
So go check that one out. We're really happy about it. And I mean, that's mostly it. Then follow me on all of the stuff. Okay, bye.
Lindsay, Cal.
I have books. They're out. And you can buy them. iHeart Hawaii is out now. Please buy it. It's out in America now.
Yay!
So you can purchase it here. And I have a children's book called Cinders and Sparks. It's very good. There's a talking dog and sausages. And also podcasts. Please listen to Full Coverage podcast if you like beauty and more of me doing this, but about shouting about makeup instead of wrestling. It's a crazy world we live in.
Michael Eagle.
Nothing. I sit at home. I don't do shit.
Nothing.
It's great.
Overwatch. Arisa Mane.
Oh, yes. Holler at me on Overwatch.
Yeah.
Art Rap Mike, though, is the handle on PS4.
Oh.
Actually, leave me alone.
Don't
come shoot at me at all.
Do you have another new Negro show coming up this month?
Oh, yes. We do a new Negroes live comedy and music show at the Virgil the last Sunday of every month. I believe it's the 22nd or something like that this month.
29th is the last Sunday.
So it might be the fourth one. So 22nd, I believe.
All right.
And stuff, there's announcements of stuff coming soon. So holler at me on Mike_Eagle.
Didn't you just release a single or am I crazy?
Yeah, but that's the thing. We'll talk off Mike.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, it's there.
Spill the tea. Our producer is the Prince of Pod, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle's the voice behind our theme music as well. So we'll put him over for that in the room. Thanks for that. Hey, Mike. Thanks for that theme song.
My heart. The cockles of my heart have been warmed.
Yay.
Yay.
Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You want to know how to get there? Don't worry. The links are in the show notes. Jeez, just check those show notes, people. Please, if you love what we do, remember to give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Let's grow the nation of conversation. Thank you so much to the Maximum Fund members who have a portion of their recurring monthly contribution. Keep the lights on when we're in the studio. You make this possible. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll be back next week for even more. You guessed it, wrestling.
Was that your Siri voice?
I was just trying something different.
I was like, jeez.
Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Tyson Bites Podcast. Tyson Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.